Before we start this episode, just want to give a quick shout out to David Donaldson. We asked for some feedbacks and comments from our fans, and he was the first to do it, and we were not joking. You won a prize, so please direct message us on our Instagram or Twitter account and claim it. Thanks for listening, and on with the show.
Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinburne. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
Welcome to Startup Addict, episode 19, and today we're talking about success.
And let's be true to the medium here.
Yeah.
We did take our first stab at the podcast, and we were unsuccessful because Julio did not have the camera working properly.
Nope.
Apologies to all of our subscribers on YouTube would have been extremely upset.
Oh, yeah. You missed out.
I mean, there was a lot of weird shit was so on. Deep, and I don't know if we can recreate it. We'll try. It was one of the most legendary or 3 minutes.
Yeah, a couple tears.
We cleared the tissue off the table, so I think we're ready to go. Yeah.
But we'll give it a shot again. Still there.
Yeah, let's do it again. We can recreate the magic.
Blame Julio.
Sorry.
So
it's the new studio. It's got me all fucked up.
That's true. The studio's...
It's like a big beige cloud.
Yeah. Feels like a hospital.
It's grabbing now.
So we're, defining it.
Yep.
Some way.
What's your rapid-fire definition of success.
Success. I don't know. Big house. A dog. I don't know. A lawn to cut.
Definitely.
And a pool would be cool. Big pool. Lots of water.
Pool table.
Pool table.
A pool would be cool. I want that on a t-shirt.
Anything in the fridge? Anything you want in the fridge in your
fridge.
Successful house?
Six-pack of
a six
Corona.
Pack. Ambitious.
Yeah. Rolling Rock.
Rolling Rock.
A six-pack of Rolling Rock.
Let's see. Tri-tip. Ready to cook. And a small barbecue.
All right.
I just
big house, six beers at a small barbecue.
Yep, that's it.
Overdo it?
I've taken notes.
Yeah, I don't need much. The house has
to be somewhere. You want to be able to go to the store a lot and flaunt your success.
That's true.
Another six-pack of Rolling Rock, please.
The cold one.
Were you just in here, sir?
Yeah. A shrimp?
Right off the truck. Get it in here.
All right, Jim, you got anything less deep than what Dennis
Can I even top that? I mean,
I don't know. That's tough.
Six beers in the refrigerator seems like you've accomplished
everyone's
success.
Every once in a while,
man.
When you do a do over, you just get magic. And we just got magic
That was brilliant.
Nice.
That was brilliant.
Told you.
I don't know that I can recreate what I said in the first thing. I went on for like 45 minutes, and Dennis had sighed twice, so we knew it was gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think success for me is just, it's about friendships. It's about the people you meet along the way and that you're able to take with you. I think in the end, you're not going to be sitting there in your pile of cash thinking, gosh, I made it. You're going to be surrounded hopefully by people that... you met along the way and that you love and that they love you and that I think there's a big part of that that defines your success. Lonely people have it really hard. And I think that this is not coming out nearly as well as it was the first time. But I think, being lonely or being depressed and even having the wealth or the success and achieving those goals, in my mind, are not as fulfilling as the people you've chosen to have as friends or loved or surround yourself with. Family's important too. I keep forgetting that.
So Jim is a very deep and caring person, and Dennis is purely about
meat and beer.
Meat, beer, and space.
Don't get me wrong. Like a refrigerator full of beer sounds pretty fantastic.
Like Jim, we could start doing charities and stuff like that. Ooh.
Friendships.
I don't think being surrounded by beer at the end maybe not be such a bad idea. Never mind.
I do think before we go into the business side of success, I do think that I always say it, but I still think I'm still. The older I get, I'm getting more convinced it's fucking true that
the end of life is just a cruel joke when you realize the people in Hawaii sitting on a beach with their friends and like just getting and doing what they need every day and just having fun the rest of the time is probably what we'll all look back and be like, what the fuck were we doing?
Yeah.
I think you mentioned something like that when we were in Mexico.
Yeah.
We were walking.
I love the way he says Mexico.
Mexico? Girlfriend's Mexican. Yeah. Mexicana. But you mentioned something similar. I think we were people watching and you're like, this would be the life. Just like letting people, just walking every day to and from and just going about your life in like this sort of environment would be really cool.
Yeah. Well, success also, like what you've been exposed to kind of influences it, right? So it's almost like we have like excess overload here. So where it's harder, there's more people that have a harder time being content because they just see so much shit everywhere. And it's hard not to, you know, want things or whatever. But I was asked, a couple years ago, I did some interview where they were talking about how would you define success? And so I came up with these six steps. I was speaking specifically about business, right? The idea of not everything's going to work, right? So I certainly wouldn't want to have the mentality that like it has to be fucking Zappos to be considered success, because that would mean you know, be chasing the impossible the whole time. Like the chance of any success would be minimal. And it'd be depressing to think that like you could spend years and years and tons of time and energy on something, and because it didn't hit one metric, it was like, oh, well, that's not success.
Yeah.
Right. That would be a pretty pessimistic way to live. So I figured within business that success was relative to each stage, right? And it was helpful when I wrote down that like if I could appreciate that. Appreciate each step along the way rather than defining it as all or nothing. That was helpful for me because I've had some times, I mean, after Stagger, certain points with Dethrone where I was depressed and I was like, man, I spent all this fucking money and I spent all this time and this didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. Stagger was especially hard because for whatever reason, I just identified with that because it was like right after Zappos, I got to do this. I remember just being so fucking miserable and I'd look in the fucking mirror every day. I think I've said this before and just being like, just like, I suck. Like, you know, look in the mirror. And then it's like, one day I was like, it was almost empowering when just decided to stop it. Stop the fucking brand. That's it.
Was it like a relief?
Well, because I didn't wear the shirt. And what I realized is I was wearing Stagger shirts every day. So every day I was looking in the mirror and there's this fucking thing reminding me of this thing that I was fucking up.
Yeah.
That it was like subconsciously, it was like, oh shit. I don't have to. Because in a weird way, putting a t-shirt company, you put it on. It's like that's what you're representing. That's who you are. Yeah. No matter where you go, people are asking you like, oh, nice shirt, or what's that shirt, or something, right? So you can't really get away from it, which sounds dumb, but that's the challenge of like identifying yourself with a brand, or you know, if it's great, then that's great. Hey, check me out, I got this fucking shirt on. Yeah. But like if it's not going great, it's a constant reminder, right? Yeah. So that's why at some point I decided I'm just gonna try to wear fucking plain t-shirts all the time, because I don't want to be like up and down based on whatever I'm wearing and how I feel about whatever it is that I'm wearing. But I figured that you can't, like, success has to be an ongoing thing. It can't be like this. It can't always be in hindsight. Otherwise, you never get to it, right? You never. Yeah. And if it's always like, oh, I can't wait till what? Like, the process is exciting. So mm-hmm. you're just waiting for this thing. So I figured you got to appreciate it along the way, because also if you're going to be open to pursuing ideas, which seems easy, but it's not. I mean, there's a, you know, everyone has doubt and like, oh, what is this? Fuck, is this, people are going to laugh, or is this stupid, or is this a waste of money? If you only had one outcome for success and it was way down the line, it'd be really daunting to try and like, why even fucking try, you know?
Yeah.
So I came down with six things, which were creation, enjoyment, experience, empowerment, scale, and wealth. Right. So the first one was creation. Like if I'm tasked with coming up with a new idea or inspired to come up with something, and I think of something that gets people to nod or even say, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel successful. I feel like, well, fuck, you know, I have no idea if I can take that idea and turn it into anything, but like, it feels good. The process of like throwing an idea out there and someone being, oh, I kind of like that. That might be good. Right. So at that stage, that's success. Like, that's, there's nothing better that can happen, right? You think of an idea, you speak it out loud, and someone says, that's good. Like, there's really nothing more, there's nothing more successful that could happen at that point.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, in theory, right? Someone would be like, that's fucking great. That idea, dude, my door is blowing up. What else could happen? Like, what could, if you just take it to that small point, there's nothing better that could happen, right?
Yeah.
So I think you got to enjoy that and get excited about that. And my good and bad thing is that's what excites me. Like, that's the part that I like, right? And I'm even worried about, well, what do we do after that? It's like, yeah, it's a good idea. Fine.
Do you think it's good to break up success? I guess maybe the concept that you're talking about is breaking up success. So it's not like at the this long process to get to this one big event, or maybe just break it up into smaller events where it's like.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it has to be to feel like, you know, right, there's successful steps, and it has to be. Otherwise, it would be too daunting. But then at the same time, what I always think is, I'm always trying to figure out, am I just trying to like justify or rationalize things in my head? Am I just trying to say, well, no idea if this is going to fucking work, but let's celebrate the fact that someone said it was a good idea.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a cop-out, right? But fuck.
We're going to Matrix.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to Matrix. Yeah. Success will be defined every hand. But but number one is that. Like, if you can create something, like if you can just say, what is there that doesn't exist that I can exist? Mm-hmm. Or you think of an idea. And it's the same. I think it's the same feeling of accomplishment. If you like think of an idea for a t-shirt or think of a company that, you know, like it's the same. They're just new ideas, right?
Yeah.
There's no idea that's bigger or smaller than the other one.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking idea.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Like, Crooks and Goons.
Crooksandgoons.com. Fairly small idea.
It's a great idea.
Very tiny.
I think that can drill down to like the simplest of things, right? A new way of doing a project in a different way, a new way of accomplishing something at work that's more efficient or more effective, that it makes more money or is better for overall. I think there's lots of great success in all of those little achievements. And I know that when those kind of things happen to me, I'm always like, oh, all right, sweet, we did it. Like, you've got that.
Yeah. And then they stack, right? Because then you get like, you know, a little success creates more passion. Now with ideas, it's hard because, like new ideas are all equal in size. It's just something.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, do you want to pursue it? Like, are you passionate about it? Are you positive about it? Do you need to do more research? But when it's literally at the idea stage, there's no big or little idea. There's no entrepreneurial activity. It's just fucking, it's purely just being creative and thinking like, ooh, what about that? What about this? Right? So that's cool. And you could probably build a business on that. I mean, people do build businesses on that, right? Like, just come to us and we'll, I mean, in essence, it's kind of what an ad agency does.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But it's not entrepreneurial because, and I actually have this in my notes, like, because I looked it up and I was trying to figure out, is creating something entrepreneurial? And it's not, right? Because an entrepreneur is defined as a person who organizes and operates a business or businesses, taking on greater than normal financial risks in order to do so. So, like, the creation part is all pre-entrepreneurial, pre-business, pre-anything. That's just, like, the same as a kid building Legos and being like, let me try this or try that, right?
Yeah.
So that's the, it's like, creation's like, it's like you're hunting for an idea that may be worth pursuing in an entrepreneurial way. The second step was enjoyment, right? Because, you know, I don't have any, speaking for myself, I don't have the discipline or psychic ability to only work on things that are going to make money, right? Like, most of my ideas won't turn into businesses, let alone profitable businesses. But that doesn't make the ideas or working on them any less exciting, right? Like, when you think of a new idea and you're lying in bed and you're like, holy shit, or it doesn't have to be, and the idea doesn't have to be the whole business, like Jim said. It could be like a new way of doing something, or, oh, we could do this better at the office tomorrow, or, oh, what if we did this within the context of your job or anything?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's, you can't wait to get up and like present that idea, right? Either to the team or your coworkers, or to just do more research. but that doesn't mean it's a business, right? So that took me a while to, I still have a problem with that, wrapping my head around. It's like I literally get just as excited about something which has no fucking chance to be a business as I do about something which has a big chance to be a business. And so that's like the fucking, that's the challenge. And the other challenge for me is most of my fun is, are those two phases.
Yeah.
Like I kind of suck at like a lot of the stuff after that phase, right? So it's like, that's where all the, so for me, the most fun part is the fucking useless part, technically.
Yeah. Right? Just coming up with some ideas.
Yeah, so people are like, oh, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, like, am I, I'm more like an idea. I'm interested in shit that I think is fun, yeah. You know? So by definition, I'm more like a idea person than a business person. But then, you know, you can take an idea and you involve other people and their skills, and then that turns it into a business. And then, you know, you get the credit for the business when, you know, a lot of times you just had the idea. So,
yeah.
And then I think there's also success in just like the experience, right? Like if you believe that everything that happens, my voice just cracked. I think I just fucking went backwards in time. It's like
dropped.
A fucking time warp.
They finally dropped.
If you,
welcome. Welcome.
I told you, like drinking Rolling Rocks, like being a 16-year-old kid in the summer. You did. And I just turned into a fucking 16-year-old kid in the summer. So the other part of, I think, running a business that can should be considered a success, whether or not there's a financial outcome, is experience you get from it, right? So turning an idea into a business is hard. Like, you have an idea. It doesn't mean it's a good business. And there's really three... I jotted down that there's three reasons that an idea could not... A good idea could not be converted into a profitable business. And that's, and it just means that by yourself, right? Mm-hmm. One, it's maybe it's really not a good idea.
Yeah.
There's plenty of those where you're like convinced it's a fucking good idea. You can tell when you tell people, like you're looking in their eyes and they don't think it's a good idea, but you're just fucking decided it's a good idea. So that's the way that you can just be wrong. Right? Yeah. You can just be wrong. Like, this is a great idea. No, it's not.
I've done that and I pitch it to my parents. Right? And they're like,
yeah. So as you realize
your
that.
Your parents are saying
they're
no.
Like, Mac, yeah. I sliced mojito.
And it, just because it's a bad idea, it also doesn't mean it's a bad idea. It could mean like it's a bad idea for you, right? So mm-hmm. you'll realize that because maybe you didn't. So you could do more research, right? Mm-hmm. You could think like, oh shit, no one's ever done this. And you start researching it and you're like, no, someone's done this. And then that's where you have to be honest with yourself. You have to like, as excited as you are about the idea, you have to also be like, and the plans you've already made in your head and the fucking worldwide domination you're about to achieve and
yeah, you already
how fucking cool you're going to look and all that shit.
You researching like, the boat you're going
to
buy.
Yeah. You know, but you have to be, it's like playing blackjack and be like, well, I'm already going to fucking lose my money. So I might as well just keep betting.
Hey, showing a 16. I'm good.
Yeah. Right. So you do research and you realize that maybe it's not the best idea. So then you got to have the discipline to be like, okay, I will let logic or my research overcome my excitement or getting ahead of myself, whatever.
Yeah.
And the second way, it could be a good idea, but not a good idea for you, because there might be an idea where you might just lack the experience,
yeah,
or the resources, or the passion to make it work. Right. So you might have an idea that's good, a good idea for the right person, and you might not be the right person. It might be a really expensive idea, where it's like, yep, if you had unlimited funds and you could fucking do this quickly and you had technical skills, this is a great idea.
Tell me about it.
But you have none of those, right?
Yeah. Sourcing those dollars. You
know? Or you could be like, that's a great idea, but it needs this knowledge to complement it. You don't have that knowledge, right? Or, hey, that's a really good idea, but I'm not interested in fucking selling frog's toes to turn them into, you know, staples or something like yeah. that, right? And you're like, you're just not passionate about it. You're not going to wake up thinking about that. Are you gonna try to do that idea? You gonna steal that idea?
I should write that down real quick.
But regardless, right, the process of pursuing the idea, no matter how long or short it is, you gain experience and knowledge that will help you in the future on another idea compete, right? Because either your thought process, where you're like, you're getting experience in thinking a certain way instead of just getting caught up in the excitement, right? If you get caught up in the excitement once and you do some research and find the downside to it, I'm pretty sure the next time you have an idea, the first thing you're going to do is that research to make sure there's no downside to it, yeah. Right? And if you get caught up in an idea and you see the downside, but you're just, your excitement outweighs it, well, the next time you're going to be more hesitant to let your you know, your excitement outweigh it. Or if you decide, fuck it, yeah, this might be an industry where we need, you know, tens of millions of dollars to compete, and we got to do it all quickly, and I don't have that, but I'm just gonna try it anyway because maybe someone with tens of millions of dollars will see it and give it to me, you know, and everything will be perfect. And that doesn't happen. Well, the next time you're gonna be like, whatever money you lost relative to you, the next time you're gonna be like, well, fuck, maybe I shouldn't do that. But regardless, you'll have gained the experience, right? So it'd be hard, it'd be disappointing to think that if you went through a process over a period of time, spent some money or whatever it was, and it didn't work out, that you couldn't take any success from that, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to look at it and go, no, like, and it's all, I guess it all comes, to me, it all comes back to that thing of like, everything that happens is the best thing that can happen. And really, it's all comes down to that. Like, what did I get out of this? And at first it doesn't seem obvious, but then you'll be like, oh, I must have gotten something out of it, right? The next one was empowerment. Because even like a business is not, I mean, I guess if you're a fucking social media star and like you just do shit on your own, it's all selfies, I guess, then you'd be a one person business, right? Yeah. But usually you need other people. There needs to be a team to make something work. So even if something doesn't work financially, right, as the business owner or the investor, or your idea morphs into something else because someone else in the team had a better direction to take it, like, you would think it was a failure. And maybe for you, it just, like, you look back and you're like, well, that fucking sucked.
Yeah.
I spent a whole bunch of money. It wasn't what I wanted to do in the first place. And whatever, right? I didn't learn shit. I didn't even do shit.
Yeah.
Like, this just sucks. So there's no fucking way you could say there's some success in there, right?
Yeah.
But then you realize, like, someone on your team learned from that experience because they were filling some of the, you know, they were, someone's working on it. Mm-hmm. And then they learned something. And so maybe either they stay on your team in the future, and that becomes, they become, it becomes more valuable to the next project that comes on. Or maybe someone on your team watches the whole process and goes, this guy has no fucking idea what he's doing, and if I was in charge, I would have done it totally differently. And then they leave and they do it totally differently. And like, how could you not take some pride in being like, yeah, like that person that just started fucking this $1 trillion company, they learned by watching me fuck up. Like, I basically trained them, right? Or that'd be an extreme case. But even if it was anything like that, trainer. Right? Yeah. Or maybe you get someone that's like, oh, I don't, you know, this person comes in, they have no experience in an area, or they're just starting and they learn about something and they become really good at it. Maybe they become really good at something that you don't really need on any future projects. Then they go off and they become really successful doing that. And you're like, hey, you know what? Because of this project, that person gained those skills. And right? So you've, in theory, if you take pride in that, if it's not all about me,
yeah,
then
it's like looking at the silver success. Lining.
Yeah, just, it really is, right? And then wealth is the last one, right? So wealth is kind of like the universally acclaimed one. Like, if you create wealth, whether it's for yourself, others, or whatever, it does feel really good, and it's, and that's the simple one, right? That'll be just regarded as success.
Yeah,
but that's not going to happen most of the time. And even if it does happen, it's not going to happen equally for everyone. So at Zappos, it was one of the disappointing things. It wasn't bad. It's just impossible. There's no way that everyone can share equally in the success if it's just defined as money.
Yeah.
Now they could have equal on whatever the scale is of judging success, right? If it's all relative and it's like, you know, given what you know, I don't know, whatever it is, given time and what risk and all these things, it could be like, that's what you're shooting for, right? You're shooting for something that feels fair to everyone. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to feel the same to everyone, it just has to feel fair to everyone. But yeah, those are the six things. And I hadn't looked at that in a while, but when I looked at them, I was like, I like going through those because it kind of like puts everything in perspective of like, all right, this is, let's, you know, maybe we don't celebrate little successes enough, or maybe there's too much pressure to hit a home run when a whole bunch of fucking singles.
Yeah.
We'll turn that home run into a 3-run homer instead of a 1-run homer, you know? And who knows? Maybe a business that fails ultimately leads to a fucking 6-pack of tri-tip and
that's what I was
some water
say,
in your
right?
pool. Yeah. So,
pick a fence.
I actually have a question. So for the concept you were talking about where you have an idea, or you think it's a good idea, but then it's something you're not, don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Like, how do you know, like, whether it's a, do I really want to do this? If I'm not really, I don't know anything about it. I'm not sure if I even would enjoy it, but I think it's a good idea. Like, how do you negotiate that in your head?
Well, I think if it's, well, now it's gotten easier as I gotten older. Because it's more like if it's an idea about something where you just, I mean, you can just laugh about them, right? Like, oh, that'd be a good idea. I haven't the fucking slightest thing about that. You don't even think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Or if it's an idea about something where, for me, it's like more tech-related stuff where I'm like, I can think of the greatest tech idea in the world, but like, I can't do anything about it, right? Or, yeah. Or you're aware, self-aware enough to know that like, there's people out there that are way more passionate about it. So that's the main thing. I think any idea that you're passionate about, that like you can't stop thinking about, you wake up the next morning thinking about it, jumps the line on this existing stuff you're working on.
Yeah.
That's probably worth pursuing, because even if you don't, you could find people and you'll have enough passion to like, hopefully at least convince them to come work on it or convince them it's a good idea.
Yeah.
But if you don't even think, you know, if it's just like a, I don't know, I don't know anything about that, and I don't even fucking care about that, I'm not even thinking about that, then that's harder. And then the other thing is, in reverse, is like making sure you're not wasting too much time on ideas that seem fun, but you know have no business potential. It's almost like you keep thinking, like, we need to set up a certain amount of time where we just work on dicking around on fun things.
It's called a band.
Yeah.
It's playing music, doing music for a career.
Right. And then you can't try to turn everything into a business, right? Yeah. So, I mean, for example, in the past, like, what would have happened? We would have, and this happened, actually, this happened in my head. So the company's called Faded Brands, right? So that's supposed to be just the umbrella company that is above the concepts, which are supposed to be gathering the community, right? So why are you pointing at me with while you drink your beer? Put that pinky down.
It's a Corona. Keep it classy.
With the gathering the community, right? So we're trying to stay focused in, okay, these are things that are, we can create one and then they're repeatable. Mm-hmm. Or we can create more than one. Instead of having create one that just the one keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But even within that, it's like a tip. So for me, I'm like, let's make a t-shirt. Hold on, we need to make a fucking faded t-shirt, right? And then literally, then I just can't stop the fucking avalanche. Because then in my head, I'm like, Faded's a pretty fucking good name for a brand. You know what? We could fucking, we could make all sorts of faded shit. And then we should, we should order have fucking hats and shirts. We should sponsor people, because people would love to see a shirt that says Faded. That's pretty cool. Like, it's fucking destiny, blah, 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 blah. Right? And then you're sitting here daydreaming about all this stupid shit. And like, but, and then it's hard to reconcile, well, wait a minute. What do you do? What do you do with all that past experience? Like, is the past experience telling you, oh, we've learned a lot, now we could just tweak this and make it better? Or is the past experience telling you, no, you don't want to fucking go down that same path again? Not because it's the worst idea in the world, but because you're supposed to be focusing, or there's only so much time in a day, so you should focus on the ideas that are more. So the one thing I've realized is the more ideas there are, the more it distracts everyone from the main thing. So in that regard, it's like, it's also cheaper. There was one point, right, where we're like, you know, it'd be cheaper to just make a shirt every month and just fucking have a website where they're just free to the first couple hundred people that want them.
Yeah.
Than it would be to try to turn every idea into a brand. Like, if the goal is basically to the enjoyment of creating something, and or thinking, hey, it's fun to just, it's just fun. Like, it's not fucking curing cancer or the biggest company in the world. It's just fun to make a fucking shirt and have someone wear it.
Yeah.
Or to wear it yourself. Like, that's just fun. But you don't, just because something's fun doesn't mean you should start a whole business around it and start investing a whole bunch of time and money. Yeah. Wouldn't it be just as fun to make a couple hundred shirts every month and just have a website where it's like, here, just fucking free to the first 200 people?
Yeah.
So.
Do you think a lot of the, now your business decisions as you got older is more geared toward whatever's more fun for you?
No, I think the only luxury of Zappos, for example, is I still get the same, spend the same amount of time thinking like, oh, we could think of something really big, or I think of something that would make a whole bunch of money. But it's like, it's not as crucial.
Yeah.
Right. So I got lucky. I'm lucky. So I can be like, It's good and bad, actually. It's because I can afford to just work on shit that has no potential because it's like, oh, it's be fun.
Yeah.
But it takes the pressure off. It takes the pressure off of every idea having to be as big as possible. And I think in the long run, what will happen is that'll lead to things that start small becoming bigger because they won't be so desperate to try to be big right away. But it's always the same thing, right? It's like hiring people before you need them. Then you hire people before you need them, and then you spend X amount of time, or their boss spends X amount of time trying to figure out what they should be doing all day, mm-hmm. right? So it's just like, or you want to grow bigger, so you spend more on marketing before you have enough product, or you have a concept for a apparel company, and so instead of just testing out one design, you like, well, what kind of fucking apparel company has one design? Let's make fucking 20. and then you maybe show, then yeah. you're like, you're aware of it, so you're like, well, hold on, let's not release them all at once. Let's release them 10 today and 10 tomorrow. You know, it's like yeah. like a dub. Like, so that's that pressure of trying to get big probably stops a lot of things from getting big. But then I also don't know the answer, because there's a lot of this like, oh, it's a fucking 20-year overnight success story.
Yeah.
But then there's probably also some the reverse, where it's like, because of the not having the pressure, you push too slowly. So you're like, ah, maybe there's some missed opportunities, right? Where you're like not taking the risk or not scrambling. So I have no fucking idea. And that's what's dangerous about this list is you could literally just, you know, get into feel good mode and like be like, sweet, like fuck that up today. But listen, let me see.
Look how successful I am today.
Which one of these six things? Look, I fucked it up. So Jim got to take a stab at it. So he's fucking empowered. And then, let's see, you know, it was kind of a good experience, and fucking Dennis sure got a kick laughing about this, yeah. So I created enjoyment for him.
Great.
You know, Julio created something random, so yeah, it's good. That's the downside, right? It's gotta be like, everything's always easy to afterwards assign something to. So the hardest part is still like trying to be honest with, what's the whole thing, right? Same, all goes back to this fucking book about if everything that happens is the best thing that could have happened, you just have to figure out why. But that doesn't mean that any decision you make is the best thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, things will happen because they're supposed to happen. And then if you study them, you'll figure out, maybe you'll take some good from it and keep moving on.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you can just do whatever the fuck you want, and whatever the fuck you want is good.
Yeah.
No, you usually end up in jail when you do that.
But the thing about your list, and I think that's why most people resort to the last thing on your list, wealth, as sort of the easiest way of measuring success, is because the other five that you mentioned are so ambiguous, right?
Yeah.
It's just like wealth is, you know, X's and O's, and it's very binary. You either have money or you don't. So it's easier to be like, okay, I'm more successful because I'm wealthy, as opposed to like trying to take one of the other ones and trying to pull all those apart and trying to find success within there and then still feeling like you're successful.
And there's different kinds of people. I mean, if you think about it, like there's starving artists, right? They're just focused on number one. It's just fucking creation. Mm-hmm. And then like someone likes it, they like it. They don't, whatever. At least that's not what they're focused on, but that's like the box you put them in. And then enjoyment. It's like, we all got fucking lush friends that just like to enjoy themselves. Like, you know, they're just doing whatever feels good at all times. And it's like, you know, and then you got people that like experience, they're just doers. They like to go do shit. They like to, well, I guess they're travelers, right? They want to go experience everything.
Yeah.
And they're not coming back with anything more that you can see than when they left, but in their head, they feel like they've got a lot more. Empowerment is probably teachers, right? Teachers are like, well, fuck, I might not make the most money in the world, but I get to help people and
influence people.
Coaches,
yeah. Teachers, yeah.
And then scale is, there's just, you know, there's we missed the scale one. We missed the scale step.
I thought you were. I thought it
was only five. But so the scale was the other one. So, you know, success, the bigger it gets, in theory, it's more successful. Because even if you, not just financially, like the larger the operation, so there should be more creation, enjoyment, experience, empowerment occurring along the whole way, right? There's also negatives that go with it, but if you isolate them, it makes sense that like the more people involved, the bigger the thing gets, the more opportunity there is for people within the company to experience either more people to experience one of these components of success, or the same people to experience more volume of these things of success. That was the missing one. But even at scale, that's just that's more like people that just like, I guess, the blinged out people on Instagram, right? Like, they just think bigger is better. Like, they it kind of goes with wealth. There's wealth, right? There's people on Instagram that have nothing, but they just make it look like they have something, and they feel successful because like someone liked their picture of themselves in the fucking dressing room at some store, you know, where it looks like their house. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
but people seem to like people, when you look at it, like a lot of people seem to define themselves by one of those five or six things, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, scale, I guess, could also be like you want the big house, right?
Yeah, the big one, you know? Huge.
I mean, in effect, you're an interesting case study, right? Because on the beer side, you just want the enjoyment. You're just focused on the enjoyment. You didn't give a shit how many you had. You chose six when you could have had whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
But on the house side, you want a big house.
Just a big house. So there I like
you,
space.
There you're worried about scale.
I think that's more of a neurotic thing. Yeah. I'm not like big on small.
Yeah, creation, you wanted
like that. I'm not big on small.
Creation, you wanted a tri-tip, right? You could have chose a fucking pizza where it's already done, but you wanted a tri-tip so you can go out there and barbecue it.
Yeah. I
on your small barbecue, which again was more about the experience. Yeah. It wasn't about scale or wealth. Yeah. So. You didn't empowerment. You weren't planning to invite any of us over or teach us anything.
I didn't hear our names at all.
Yeah. So empowerment is
back
the lowest.
Space. I need space.
But I thought it was interesting. I remember when I did it. I remember thinking like it was super helpful. And then I hadn't really thought about it until this. But yeah, hopefully you can get, you know, the ultimate success if you get an experience which leads to all of them.
Yeah.
So.
Ultimate success.
The ultimate success.
That brings up a lot of memories about doing trying to pursue music was just, you know, such a labor of love because how many hours you put into it. But I never thought of, you know, being rich and famous or anything like that. It was just so much fun. Just the process of it was just like, I mean, it was like 40 hours a week of just music. But then as you get older, you realize, yeah, shit, I can't survive on this. You know, I got to start paying bills. I guess when you're, maybe it's the opposite for me, but when I was younger, I was always thinking, you know, have fun. But yeah. Some people, I guess, when they come out, they won't make money and then learn when they get older, have fun.
Do you consider yourself to be a successful musician?
I do, because I think I got to experience a lot of stuff that a lot of other people didn't. And I don't know. I had a lot of memories and a lot of stories.
That's what I feel about reporting. I mean, like, you mentioned the whole starving artist thing. I was like reporters for the most part. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a sports reporter. And when I got to be one, I was like, this is the coolest thing in the world. But after a while, you're like, holy crap, you know, they don't pay much here. I got to go somewhere else. But I look back and I go, yeah, I do consider myself to be successful, not just because I got to win some awards and stuff like that, but because of the experiences. That came along with, you know, getting to go to games for free and cover really big events and, you know, concerts and shit like that. It was always a lot of fun. So,
I mean, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, like the same thing. You know, I got to play a bunch of stages, meet a bunch of artists and stuff like that. But I think maybe my theory is every 7 to 10 years is just like your mind changes and you want to do something else. I think with music, I was just like, you know, I put in 15 years. I think I'm good. I want to kind of see what else is out there, you know.
Dude, I'm on fucking 7 to 10 minutes. it'll be interesting over time because now, like when we were growing up, the definition of success was different, and so you were more. It was more just about enjoying yourself and having fun and doing stuff, and now it's just like, maybe I'm overstating it, right? Maybe if you're fucking 16-year-old kid right now, you'd be like, no, it's the same exact thing as when you were young. It's just different in this way. But now it just feels like there's so much pressure. Like, what I worry about for my son is more like the pressure of, like, having to front and act like you got it all figured out or you got all this shit or spending so much time worrying about, like, you know, putting together pictures and stuff to make it seem a certain way rather than just doing something. Or, like, the, you know, playing in a band and then having someone else, I don't know, it's just like maybe someone else is making it seem like their band is more glamorous on social media and something. Yeah. It's just you're comparing it. There's so much more to compare it to like instantly. or true. In a fake way. You're comparing yourself to fake shit all the time. It's like a, it's ridiculous.
I see what you're saying. I think it's going to be hard. I think it might be a little bit harder for this generation to just go out there and do something that's genuine and their own without having to, like, I mean, as soon as you load any of these social media things, you're like, oh shit. Like, everyone out there I went to school with that I know is like killing it, right? And so, like, how do you gauge yourself against that? We didn't have those pressures, right?
Oh, because we had no idea what was going on out there.
Yeah, like,
once nobody knew what anybody was doing.
Most of my friends had gone away or had done something else. Like, the ones that I was kept in touch with, like, they were my friends. I could tell them. But, like, almost everybody else, I had no idea what any of them were doing, right? And actually, a lot of them have gone on to be very successful people. But, like, I didn't know that. And so, like, I didn't have any of that pressure weighing on me. I had pressures, but not those. I mean, I can't imagine what it's going to be like for someone who's lived inside that bubble.
Yeah,
that is constantly having to look at everything. And not just their friends, but like the people. Yeah. I mean,
and those people aren't playing by the same rules that you might be playing.
Right.
Meaning, like, they can, they aren't shy about, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Bending the truth a little bit in order to make themselves look more successful than others are. And so when you see that, you can't tell on a photo. I mean, on a,
it's always the best of the of that person.
Yeah, exactly. So then you're like, holy shit! Now I have to bend the rules, or I have to bend reality a little more to make myself seem like it. So they're not playing by the same rules, and you choose to.
I think I feel the pressure. Like, sometimes when I see all these people, I'm like, what the fuck?
Every picture I send you, Dennis, is totally.
I know.
Check out this new T-shirt.
The one with money in it. What do you think?
But when we were when we were growing up, you just had to compare yourself to, you compared yourself to like the same school, right? So you just had to, like, even as far as fitting in, it was like, just let me just focus on here, right? It'd be overwhelming if while you were simultaneously trying to fit in here, you're also trying to fit in all over the place. And even with businesses, like, if you were like, you lived in some town somewhere and you're like, there's no good, whatever it is, there's no good deli, right? So you open a deli. It's like, in that town, you open a good deli. It's the best deli in town. But then you're fucking looking on Instagram, people are like dipping their fucking turkey in gold and all this shit. Or like, there's a line 6 city blocks when your town is like one fucking stop sign. You're going to be like, oh man, my deli sucks. But nothing changed. Your deli is exactly the fucking same.
Yeah.
It's successful. Like, it's all relative. So that's the, and it's, you know, even still happen. I still do all the time. Like, I still compare all the time. Like, what the fuck? How come we couldn't do this? Or how come we couldn't do that? And then, but what I've realized over time is a lot of the people you talk to, it's just perception, right? When we're doing Dethrone, you go through talking to a lot of, I mean, you got some, I mean, we got some wacky calls. Like, you got famous musicians calling and because there was about certain things, but that I'd never even thought I would talk to on the phone, but through a fighter. And they thought our brand was so fucking huge.
Yeah.
And I thought their brand was like so fucking huge. And then you get on the phone, you realize, huh, that's funny.
We're all in the same boat.
It's all fucking, you know? And then you talk to, you'd think like, oh man, I spent so much money on this. Like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And why isn't this working? And why isn't that working? And you talk to someone from a brand that you like looked up to, and you're looking at their Instagram and their Twitter, and you're like, these guys are fucking killing it. Why can't I be like them? And you talk to the fucking guy, and he's like, dude, this is a fucking drain that I just keep throwing all my money down. It's like, then you start questioning, like, is anything fucking real? You know, like, what the hell? But the, so that's why you think you have to have whatever it is. Anyone listening has to have their own, a couple definitions of like, what are you gonna, like, what are you judging yourself on other than just one thing?
Yeah. Does that success? Do we need to talk about being real with yourself? A realistic goal of success for your, at least at certain stages in your life or at certain times of during the business, right? You can't. I think you talked about this earlier. Like, you can't set out for the moon, right? If you've only got a scooter, you're not gonna make it. Right, you gotta
especially set some if the milestones. Scooter's off.
Actually,
especially if the scooter's turned off, right?
Wait, that was the problem today?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know I had it on off switch.
So let's reset. Let's reset the story. The story. So we needed to get
the story. Is the story?
We needed to get the paychecks from the office to Nacho Rio, and I was like, I don't know what was going on, but like, Jose was gonna come grab him, or I was gonna take him over, and Julio was like, oh, no problem. Is the scooter powered up? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'll go take him. So he leaves.
I get down to the bottom of onto Primrose, and then I sit down and I try to twist the power to move like I've done before, and it doesn't go anywhere. And I go, oh crap, maybe I broke it. And then I try looking for the on-off switch, which I couldn't find. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back upstairs. And my goal was to drop off the scooter and then walk across the street to the library and get one of the Lime bikes and just take the Lime bike. But then you said something about, don't worry about it. Dennis is not going to pick up food anymore. That was part of the journey. Part of the mission was to go get some food for you.
At any point, did you think you'd make up a story like you'd been hit? Someone tried to steal the scooter.
No, because I didn't figure there was any shame in it because I hadn't done anything.
He came back and he's like, wow, this thing was charged, fully charged this morning. Jesse had just ridden it the time before.
Jesse under the bus.
How does this run out of battery so fast? And Jim's like, well, the battery's only whatever 45 minutes. And we're like,
I'm like, no,
so far it's got about 4 minutes of drive time on it. So we just figured it was dead, but apparently now we just learned that the power was off. Switch.
Yes.
All right, well, now we
good
know.
Story.
Luckily,
yeah. It was funny. Should have funny when we were
there. But the success in that story was next time you know to check the fucking on off switch.
I do. It's empowerment because now you've empowered me to turn it on.
We all got enjoyment out of that story.
There you go. See?
Right.
Now, anyone who has a scooter or rides a scooter knows you've got to make sure that power switch is on.
Dennis is feeling empowered because he did something that he thought was really dumb today, and now he knows it wasn't the dumbest thing.
Wait, what?
That anyone's done
which
today.
Which one was that one?
I have a list.
What, number one? Yeah.
Well, that reminded me of, you were telling the story about, I think there was a, when we were talking about starting the soccer team, we had a guy come over to talk to us when the Dragons were first starting off. And from afar, we were like, this team is like the most awesomest team in the world because they're drawing thousands and thousands of people. I think you can imagine who it was. And then when we find out, he gave us a little more insight into the financials. We're like, holy crap. Do we really want to do this soccer thing? Because
he's throwing the money in the fireplace.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, whoa. I mean, and then we were like, okay, well, and we went on with the meeting, but that was what I remember from afar. It looks like, oh my God, this is the most successful soccer franchise we've come across in our lifetime. And now here we go with like the reality of it. It's like, okay.
Yeah. But then, and then that still comes back to this, right? Because then still, you would hate to walk into a meeting and you've got this thing that people, it's inspiring. Maybe your team is inspiring people, right? People are like, oh, I wish I could have a team like that. And someone who didn't think about trying to start a soccer team is like, fuck it, if they can do it, I'll try it, right? And you're thinking, this has been a really fucking fun however many years and all that shit. But you're just losing money. And so then someone realizes, like, wait, what? Like, how much money are you losing? And they tell you, and then it literally feels like it's like, well, then that sucks. But, like, everything else still existed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you still had the fun. You still learned a bunch of shit. It'll still help you later. So it's really, I don't know what the right answer is. Because
it's almost like an investment. And if you make money, awesome.
Yeah. I mean, like, like they always say, you can't take all your money with you when you die, right?
Yeah.
Like it just is what it is. So you're going to, you're just going to live each day.
So what do you think about, like, the fake it till you make it? Is that a good business strategy or?
You could ask that. What is it? The Ramos lady, if that works?
There's a balance, right? There's probably a balance of.
Goes back to, like, selling yourself.
Yeah. There's probably a balance of, like, there's a balance of, like, being optimistic, feeling like you belong in any room, any conversation. And then maybe there's some fibs you got to tell along the way to fucking make the rest of the room okay with that for whatever, biases they have.
Yeah.
But then you also don't want to, like, be delusional or deceptive.
Or a straight-up liar.
Yeah.
That one lady, what's her face? The Theranos lady? What was the name of that company?
Oh, yeah, right? Like, she's going to...
Holy.
Yeah. Her entire business is just one big lie.
I heard she owes, like, $25 million to the investors because her stock isn't worth jack. But
did you guys watch that? Like, that 60 Minutes on her, like, she's just like, you watch her in the room with the investors, you watch her, at like TechCrunch events, and she's great, and you believe everything that's coming out of her mouth. And then it gets to the end, and she's the whole thing is
it's just a lie.
It's a lie. It's a farce, yeah. Right?
Who is this? Theranos? Is that the lady?
Who's the blood testing company? She said she was going to revolutionize blood testing. She sold something to Walgreens that Walgreens was going to do it, and like, it never worked. Ever. Like,
I had no plans of working.
No part of it worked. And it's just like it's pretty high up there in like the most deceptive like business practices.
It's one of those unicorn companies, and then they valued over $1 billion and
everybody and their brother was investing. Everybody.
And then the fucked up thing is then you look at it from the other perspective and you're like, well, the investors are all fucking, they don't give a shit about anything either, right? They're just like,
They're telling me it was going to hit.
A lot of them are just sharks that are just like, hey, well, fuck you. We don't care about you. We just want the money. So yeah. Then it's like, is it really wrong that she screwed over a bunch of investors? You know, who would you rather have them? I don't even know anything about the story other than what you guys are saying and just from seeing the headlines. But in a weird way, so she did whatever she did. And she ended up with to save a bunch of money. And these investors who didn't do shit, except spend someone else's money, lost it. But in a way, even though she didn't create the business, like, isn't it more like I don't know, in a weird, not that it's anything health related, obviously, and anything lying is not good, mm-hmm. but on some weird way, if you see the good in anything, it's fucking admirable that she was able to pull that shit off. And the only people that got fucked over are people that are spending
money.
It's not their money anyway. They're taking bets on. But that money probably came from, you know, school funds and health funds and pensions. So you go back far enough.
I think
with $100. Yeah, just,
you can admire the hustle, whatever the saying is.
Definitely. Well, like you were saying, like if you watch her ability to sell something, that is.
Yeah, she's
admirable.
Spooky. She's and that's spooky. Crazy. Is why if you have that ability, would you then
use
not put it to better use?
Because this is what she decided to do with it. I think the bigger problem with her story and that story is that those blood tests were being done, and a lot of them might have been falsified, and the people who were sick got misdiagnosed. And when you're dealing with health, like I think she could have hustled any other thing but people's health. I mean, your life and death.
Even
right?
False hope, where they don't do something that would have worked because they're waiting for her or something like that, which is fucked up. I guess what I meant was in a weird way, if it's like someone comes up with some crazy scheme that doesn't really hurt anyone except people that
have money already,
that don't give a shit about it anyway, you know, like
Bernie Madoff.
Like if you were in a room, right? And say you said, hey, your Stennis comes in one day and he's like, guys, this is fucking, I just told these guys that my band is fucking about to have a gold record. It's already, we've produced it, but no one's listened to it yet except every fucking talent agent in the world. And there's a bidding war starting for it. And these guys fucking are now offering me like, I don't know, whatever it is, $10 million.
And six beers.
For the rights to the record, right?
And a tragedy.
And you'd be like, Dennis, that's fucked up. Like these guys are, you're going to, like, that's not true, right? But it's not, now you still have the ability to make it true in a roundabout way. Because you could be like, well, the whole part about people already thinking it's great is not true, but I could fucking... I still think it's great, and as soon as people hear this, they might agree.
My dad thinks it's great.
So you could still genuinely believe like 80% of the lie, right? And then we'd still be like, that's fucked up, dude. You got to tell these guys the truth. And then what if we were fucking a fly in the room, and these fucking guys were like, dude, this guy's a fucking idiot. Whatever. But he's fucking. He says he's got this no brainer thing, and they're ripping on Dennis, right? Yeah, and they're like, but who cares? We'll put our money in him. And they're sitting there, and they're just kind of dickheads in general. And you realize the money came from, I don't know, fucking selling fucking.
No, I don't know where this is.
Give me something terrible. Right? Something that's not good, right? Where like
drugs.
Yeah, like it's not good.
Pump the brakes on that.
Yeah, like they're. They're fucking yanking kidneys out in fucking Vegas hotel rooms and selling them, right? Or something like that.
Okay. All right.
Well, then what would you rather do? Would you rather tell those guys that, like, it's a bad investment, or you want fucking Dennis to get the $10 million? You know, you want Dennis to get the $10
million? Am I invited for the tri-tip?
lost the plot here.
If I get invited. Yeah. Then hell yeah, take that money.
Yeah, I mean, I would take it.
I think there's a whole other podcast in business ethics here.
You know what I'm thinking about this actually? Because I was listening to a podcast today, and it was from the girl from Nasty Gal, Girl Boss, whatever. She was being interviewed by some podcast, and she was talking about how she felt bad because she lost all the money from whatever the venture capital firm that invested in her was, but she talked to them, blah blah blah, and they both made mistakes. And then the interviewer was saying, I had to figure out if the interviewee or the interviewer was her, but the interviewer was saying, well, that's good you care, because, you know, a lot of these fucking entrepreneurs could give a shit if they lose someone's money. This was also a women's, her thing is Girl Boss, but it's focused on women in business, right? And so they were basically saying a lot of these guy founders would never apologize for losing someone's money. They don't feel bad for one second about losing people's money.
God, it's so crazy. It's like a different mindset.
And I was sitting there going, fuck, I feel bad about losing anyone's money.
Yeah.
But in a weird way, it is relative, because I didn't feel as bad with Stagger when Stagger lost Tony's money and Dr. Vic's money, because I'm, in my head I justified it as, well, you just made a shitload off Zappos,
right? Unrelated.
But it's not related. It's yeah. two totally separate things, but at the time that's what I was thinking, yeah. right? Like, I was more stressed when I lost $10,000 of my parents' money to create some lithographs, because I sold them on the idea that this is good, and like, don't worry, I won't lose the money. And like, I knew the only reason they're giving me the money is because I'm their son. So it's kind of like it's a emotional investment versus like a logic based investment. Yeah. Right? And then with those guys, it was probably they probably put in a couple $100,000, and I did feel bad later, just because at the time I was kind of flippant with the money. I was like, yeah. oh well, who fucking cares? They lost a couple $100,000, whatever. They just made they just weighed way more, but yeah. it's not. It's two totally different things. But it was still different in a way. I don't know what we're talking about now. But
do you think you'd be able to walk in a room and just sell them hard, knowing that it's not true? Like, if you had to?
No. Actually, you know when that came back to haunt me? So everything does lead to something. So with Dr. Vic, I didn't ask for their money for Stagger. They said, do you want any money? I said, I don't really gonna raise any. Well, if you're here, we'll put some money in if you'll take it, if you want it. I'm like, well, fuck it, then I'll take it. Right, yeah. Take it from the two of them. But then Dr. Vic was friends with Frank Shamrock. Frank Shamrock was a UFC fighter yeah. early in the days, right? So I got introduced to him. And there was some point where, before Dethrone, I wanted to start a company called Heritage MMA. And so the idea was, let me take all the guys from the early fights, let me make sure it's commemorating their bouts, commemorating that. Basically, there's a brand that came out later, Roots of Fight.
Yep.
It was basically Roots of Fight, but this was like in 2008 or something. So I met with Frank in some casino in Vegas, and we sat down and we started talking. He's like, I really like the idea, you know, like blah, 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 blah. But hey, I talked to David, which is Dr. Vic, and he said like he invested in one of your companies, and then all of a sudden like the company was fine, everything was good, then all of a sudden the company was just done, and he just lost his money.
You're like,
and I'm like, well, that's not exactly what happened. It wasn't like one day I just said, hey, I fucking give up, right? I just said, hey, I've tried everything I can think of, and I can't figure out how to make this into something that's worth investing more money mm-hmm. into. So, unfortunately, in that situation, we didn't have, you know, many assets left. And I lost most of the money was myself, my own, right?
Yeah.
Like, so 90% of what we lost was mine.
So it's not like you're not investing money.
Yeah.
It's like you're invested too.
Yeah, I was invested. I had invested way more than anyone else. And time.
So it shows that you're not just taking.
No, so I was more like, I don't, they didn't want to put more money in, and I didn't want to put any more money in. And so I was like, I had put more money in a couple times just because I felt like I couldn't stop, either ego-wise or, you know, because I just thought everyone would say you suck. Or because I had other people's money in. I was like, well, I can't fucking give up. But ultimately, I came to the decision of like, dude, I just gotta, like, continuing to spend my own money on something which I don't think we can turn around, just to not lose a little bit of their money doesn't make any sense. I just got to be honest with them and tell them, hey, I've tried everything. If you guys have any ideas, fucking let me know. I'll try it.
Yeah.
But if you don't, we're just going to stop this and shut it down. But even that scenario, right, that led to a conversation. And I was taken aback and like a little offended at the time.
Yeah.
I was like, the fuck are you to tell me that, that like, about this? Like,
I'm 90% deep.
You told that to Frank Shamrock?
I think I said like, I didn't obviously talk tough to Frank Shamrock.
Oh, what does it?
But I,
excuse me, sir.
But I,
excuse
but
me, I, Shamrock. Who are you?
It wasn't like a. I mean, it was. We'll probably never talk again after this conversation. Kind of conversation, like.
It's nice to meet you.
You know, fuck. You know,
get up and leave.
So we just kind of left it as all right. Well, fuck. Like, because to me, it wasn't even that. Like, to me at the time, it was more how he said it. Like, not in a hey, dude. I'm really interested in this, but I want to ask you, like, I want to get your thoughts on this.
It's more like
it was more like aggressive.
Yeah,
like you fucked over David. That's like, what the hell? So I was like, and I don't think I think I just more in my head was like, okay, well, this is not going to fucking happen, so let's just get out of here. But anyways, but even then, you look at that, you go, probably would have fucking lost a whole bunch of money doing that, so that's fine. But anyways, yeah, we got off success, and we got off. We were on a pretty good time track.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting thing, I think, because, yeah, the bottom line is you just cannot, there's no way I don't think you can mentally consider only one possible way to be successful. and live a happy life.
It's funny, my dad, when I was growing up, I was a pretty goofy kid. My dad was a, kind of a funny guy too, and he told me, he says, you know, because I used to watch a lot of comedy and boxing. He's like, you should be either a comedian or just train to do one fight and make $1 million and get knocked out. They just say win it. Just get in one big fight, get knocked out.
You probably won't retire. Win, son.
So. Start like drummer wars.
Yeah, exactly. Just
fucking start challenging fucking Tommy Lee or whoever.
Yeah.
Drum off. A TV show.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Dennis.
Yeah.
Drum off. The TV show.
Oh, I thought of another one where
I got my dollar against your $1 million, Tommy Lee. Let's do this.
I thought of a touring old casinos across the U.S.
Touring old casinos? Touring?
Like get in a little bus and you go around and you critique crappy little casinos all across the U.S.
I think the History Channel would be love it.
Now that would probably be, that would fall under enjoyment and experience.
Yeah. But you don't think it would make money?
Yeah.
Maybe at the blackjack table. I don't know. We'll see.
You could sell Viagra ads during that. Come on.
But honestly, that was no less fun than sitting here thinking, hey, if we could fucking, you know, melt these bricks down and build a fucking tunnel out of melted bricks that goes from here to fucking, you know, Wyoming, that we could, I mean, it's the same, you know, thinking of ideas is fun.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how big they are.
Wait, we're building a
I was trying to
brick.
Think. And then I could remember what Elon Musk's boring tunnel thing was.
Oh, for boring to San Francisco.
So he conned the city of Chicago into building a. He outbid the like normal contractor for that job to do an underground tunnel between like the airport and the city. So that's crazy.
Wait, so he's also bidding on normal tunnels.
Yeah, he's he bid against Chicago. He's already started that construction in LA to build that huge tunnel. So
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just a tunnel. What's it supposed to do?
It takes people back and forth.
Oh, it's a public transportation.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good for you. The one over there, or just the one, his main one?
Both of them.
Main one. We're just gonna be. It's like. See, it feels like you just sit down and you just. You just go flying in some fucking hyperloop.
Yeah. It all seems so crazy that they're already building it, and like, he's done some tests, and I don't. I mean, that is the ultimate idea that. If it works out, it's going to be amazing, right? I mean, get in it, and a couple of seconds later, you're where you need to be.
Yeah.
And not plastered against the wall of whatever tube you're in.
But he's a good example of this, too, because he's, even if it doesn't work, he's not, like, if it doesn't work, he's not going to gain any wealth from it. He's going to probably spend money on it. But he's still going to have all these other things, and he's still going to be called fucking Iron Man.
Yeah.
And all this shit, you know? So it's still going to be
dark. Yeah. How many people will come out of these projects and do who knows what else in the world to make it a better, more livable place?
Yeah, there was a guy, David, from the Dragons. He was telling me, I don't remember the guy's name, but he was like, oh, this, if you've got a good idea that you want to get out there, you should talk to this one guy, because he's not afraid to, and he's a really successful, I remember who he is, he's a really successful investor, venture capitalist, like huge, you know, multi-billion-dollar funds and everything, and they're like, he's just not afraid to get on TV and talk about an idea that they had a week ago as if they're already fucking doing it and it's already going to be the biggest thing, because he doesn't, like most people would be like, they don't want to do that. Why? Because they don't want to look back and think they were wrong, or they don't want to, like for me, the couple times we had PR, it was never my idea to get a PR agency. We'd get a PR agency and the idea was, let's try to, someone would say, let's leverage Zappos in interviews and then promote the new thing. It's like, okay, fine. A couple times I'd do it. And then I always hated then going back and watching these interviews that I usually hadn't prepared for, look ridiculous in half the time, and like they're projects that never went anywhere. So in a way, I hate looking back at them, and I hate when someone goes, "Oh, how's that thing going?" Because it's like, fuck, I don't want to fucking talk about that. I just fucking forgot about that. Don't bring it up. But he was saying this one guy just doesn't feel that. Like he looks at it like this is a trade-off. You want me to come up here and talk about something grandiose and, you know, audacious, and like, all right, I'm going to do it. And like, hopefully by doing that, it somehow turns it into reality. And if it doesn't, I don't give a shit. I'll come back in 3 months and talk about something even bigger and more audacious.
Crooks and Coons, baby. Give me his number.
So.
All right. Well, I guess that wraps up success. We figured it out.
Success is over.
Another one off the books.
Yeah, we don't have to eat anymore now. Yep. We're good.
We're pretty much good. Grab that tri-tip and that six-pack pack of beer. If you want to follow
us. A little bit of water in the pool.
A little bit of water.
Yeah. tiny barbecue to cook the tri-tip.
Yeah, it's very small.
Yeah.
Little baby barbecue.
Baby barbecues. If you want to follow us on Twitter, follow us at startup_addict. And Instagram will be at the Startup Addict.
Yes.
And then YouTube, we apparently...
Practice makes perfect.
YouTube, we actually still need to be searched.
A lot of people came up to me on the street this week and were like, gosh, I saw you on YouTube, guys. You guys look really good. And I thought,
who's
good.
That
Will you please follow us?
Yeah. Subscribe, Darren.
Yeah.
Wait till they see the beige cloud.
Ooh, the beige cloud. Wait till I get done with it.
We're just floating in here.
Yeah, I got to put some curtains, some pictures, maybe paint a couple things.
You know, if you think about this, when we started... And I don't remember if it was in the first one we did or the one we talked about having to retake. You fucked up the social media handles to start the podcast. But the experience of doing that was a success.
And I learned.
At the end, you fucking nailed it.
Well, put a jar. Every time I screw up, I'll put $100.
Damn.
Okay. $100 if I screw up from this point on.
Let me get a jar.
Screw up on what? The
handles.
Handles.
Yeah.
We need to add some.
The rolling rock.
And if I do get it right, you all put $100.
That doesn't seem fair.
Okay, fine. All right, I guess that wraps it up, and I'm going to get out of here.
Success.
Cook that tri-tip. I got waiting for me.
All that work to get rid of Dennis, but we did it.
Yes.
Get his beer.